Texaco Star Theater to enjoy the next 60 minutes with Fred Allen, our special guest, Mark Hellinger, the winner of the Texaco College competition, Miss Betty Roberts from the University of Kentucky, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from... 45,000 Texaco dealers from... Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, and most people are looking forward to a big dinner with a roast bird. We bring you now a man who doesn't have to wait for Thanksgiving to get the bird. He's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. There is something you won't see on a Major Bowes broadcast any week, Jimmy. You don't ever see the old major bend down and touch his toes anymore, do you? He used to be his own chiropodist, I understand.
No, too.
But thank you, and good evening until until the limbus sped from his spine. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and congratulations on your novel opening, Mr. Wallington. All week long, every comedian on the air has been telling stale jokes about Thanksgiving, and tonight you show up with the same subject matter. You know, you might at least start us off with something a little fresher or more unique, I might say.
Oh, I can't help it, Fred. I always look forward to Thanksgiving.
You do? Why?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that food. That big dinner. Trolling those giblets through that gravy.
Trolling the giblets through the gravy. Jimmy, you are not going to overdo it.
Well, why not? Everybody overeats on Thanksgiving.
But you overeat every day, Jimmy. You're getting so fat now that when you sit down, you leave a grease spot whenever you... Remember, why, they told me, you sit in the Paramount, they hear you sizzle there after the second show, you're in there all day. Remember while you're eating tomorrow, James, that skin will only stretch so far. Now, if you get any fatter, you're going to have to wear a tail light. Authorities. Jimmy, you are a glutton with a capital glute, I might say. Or glutton with a capital glut. See, it got nothing either way. I mean. Just like to make sure, you know, just to make sure. There's another writer bit the dust. I can see it now.
You know, Fred, you're kidding a lot, but you're exaggerating the whole thing. Have you ever seen me eat?
Oh, I certainly have, Jimmy. Look, I was standing with a crowd on 6th Avenue only last Monday at noontime, and the crowd of us, we were watching a steam shovel excavating. Mr. Rockefeller had dropped a dime or something, and the steam shovel was excavating, and a little ragged urchin ran up and yelled, "Wallington's in Lindy's!" 40 people left that steam shovel flat and rushed over to Lindy's to watch you eat, Jimmy. Now you...
Well, regardless, Mr. Allen, all I hope is that there's enough turkey to go around tomorrow.
Well, there's enough of you to go around the turkey, Jimmy. What part of the turkey do you like best, Jimmy? The runway? What part of the turkey do you like best?
Oh, I eat everything but the feathers.
Oh, you eat the feathers too, Jimmy. That pillow you've got hanging down there didn't come from white meat, let me tell you that.
Oh, Fred, will you quit kidding? So tell me, what part of the turkey do you prefer?
Well, I have no choice, Jimmy. You know, we have a large family, and for 30 years, I have been getting the same portion.
Oh, what part is that?
Well, if the turkey was a boat, Jimmy, and the boat had just been launched...
Yes?
The part I get would taste of champagne.
That does it.
Well, I thought it would. I had hoped it would. And so, that having done it, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its weekly highlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C., under recent ruling, OPA Bureau of Conservation sets up local salvage committees throughout the entire country to determine what household materials shall be saved and collected in the various sections. For the New York Territory, OPA deputy says...
In the New York area, we will campaign for waste paper. Save your waste paper.
Tonight, Texaco News interviews a small group of patriotic citizens who are getting behind the OPA in the waste paper drive. Now, first, this gentleman here, Mr. Landis Knobb. That's with a capital K, isn't it, Knob? You have swung into action, Mr. Knob?
Yes. I wrote a letter to the Times.
What? What happened?
The letter came back. I forgot to put a stamp on it.
You hired out the mailman for nothing at all, huh? Well, what did you say in your letter, Mr. Knob?
Well, I called on America to eliminate the use of all superfluous paper. I compiled a list.
Oh, fine. It was thoughtful of you. Well, what paper can we do without?
Those traffic tickets cops give out.
Yes, we can do without those.
Those paper bloomers on lamb chops.
Good, very good.
The people should decide whether they want greasy fingers or democracy.
Now, don't ad lib, Mr. Knob, if you please.
I was just carried away, that was all.
Well, I know, but you didn't do it in time. You're still here, you see. Your size, Mr. Knob, you would just be an hors d'oeuvre to a moving man. You could be carried away with no trouble. But stop this vicarious ad-libbing and stick to your paper. What other paper hints have you?
Well, Kleenex should be used on both sides.
Excellent. Very good. Very good.
Radio scripts are a waste of paper. All radio scripts should be done away with.
Well, wouldn't this do away with radio comedians?
That's the idea. I've got scads of paper suggestions here.
Oh, written on your cuff there, have you?
Yes, I don't want to waste paper.
Oh, you wrote it on your shirt. Well, very thoughtful.
I've also made up a paper slogan.
Well, what is it?
Don't be snobbish, save your rubbish.
Don't be snobbish, save your rubbish.
Oh, yes, it's sweeping the country.
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm inside all day, you know. Well, tell me, have you personally cut down on anything besides paper, Mr. Knob?
Oh, yes. I've stopped telephoning, riding in the subway, eating in the automat.
Really? To save what?
I'm conserving brass.
Well, what has brass got to do with telephone calls, the subway, and the automat?
Shh. For years, I've been using slugs. Oh,
you look like just the sort of a man who would do it. And thank you, Mr. Landis Knob. And now, a young man who bungled his first attempt to cooperate in the waste paper campaign, Mr. Norvex Fifield. You said you came to grief, I believe, Mr. Fifield.
That I did.
What? I only asked you one question. After all, you give me two answers. Well, what happened, Mr. Fifield?
Well, yesterday I had a pain in the stomach, so I went to the doctor.
Yeah?
And the doctor started to write a prescription.
And?
Well, I said, don't write that prescription, Doc. Save that paper.
And he did?
Yeah, he told me the name of the medicine.
Well, did you buy it?
No, on the way to the drugstore, I forgot the name of the medicine. And I still got the pain in my stomach.
Well, now, perhaps I can help you, Mr. Fifield. I'll name a few medicines for you, and they may remind you. Bring it back.
Yes.
Was it Belladonna?
No.
Sulfanilamide?
No.
Formaldehyde?
No, wait a minute. It's beginning to come back. I think I got it.
Oh, fine.
Name a state on the West Coast.
On the West Coast. California?
No.
Oregon?
No.
Washington?
No, come a little farther east.
A little farther east. All right. Idaho?
No.
Wyoming?
No.
Utah?
Come a little farther east.
A little farther. Illinois?
No.
Indiana?
No.
Michigan?
Michigan, that's it, Michigan.
Fine. Well, what is the name of the medicine?
Don't rush me now. Name some important cities in Michigan.
All right, let me see. In Michigan, Battle Creek?
No.
Kalamazoo?
No.
Detroit?
Detroit, that's it.
Fine. And the medicine is?
Don't get ahead of me. Name some big industries in Detroit.
Industries. Automobile?
No.
Shipping?
Shipping. Where do they ship?
Why, on the Great Lakes. Have you got it?
Not yet, but you're getting warm.
I'm getting warm.
Name me a couple of lakes.
Lake Superior?
No.
Lake Huron?
No.
Lake Erie?
Erie. Now I'm all set.
Well, it's about time. You've got it?
Not quite.
Well, what now?
What big historical event took place on Lake Erie?
In Lake Erie? In 1813, there was a big naval battle.
Who was in it?
Commodore Perry.
That's it.
You've got the name of the medicine?
Perry-garic.
Perry-garic. Do you realize what you have done?
No.
You have spoiled my whole night.
That I did.
That you did. That you double did, drop did, and did out of here. And now a housewife with a most unusual story, Mrs. Brunhilde Spratt. You got behind the waste paper drive? You got behind the waste paper drive, Mrs. Spratt?
I overdone it.
Did you really? Well, what happened, Mrs. Spratt?
I went through the house and sent in every piece of paper I could lay me hands on.
You really did, and paper bags and...
Paper napkins, paper doilies, writing paper, tissue paper, sandpaper, blotting paper.
Well, good for you.
I took the paper off my husband's cigarettes.
You did, really?
Then I pried the wallpaper off the walls and sent that in.
You didn't overlook a thing.
I even took them little tags off of all the tea bags.
Off the tea bag you sent those in, too? You sent in every piece of paper in your house there.
That's how I overdone it.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, finally, there was a big fracas. Me husband walked out.
He told you off during the fracas, did he?
Yeah. Brunhilde, he says, when you took the newspaper out of me shoes, I didn't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When you sent in me library, all them Morocco-bound police gazettes, I didn't complain.
First edition, too, yeah. I bet.
When there wasn't no paper to wipe the lather off me razor, he says I wiped it on me union suit leg.
Uh-huh, long arms he had.
Yeah. But, he says, when you sent in my two pieces of cardboard and put me out of work, I'm through.
Your husband's two pieces of cardboard?
He's a picket.
Oh. He left you flat, you say?
Yeah. He put on his shoes and said, today I am a bachelor and scram.
With his shoes on, huh? A bachelor? Well, he's still married to you, isn't he?
He is, but I can't prove it.
Why not?
Well, in the heat of the paper drive...
Yes?
I sent in me marriage license to the OPS.
And now you are a widow?
No, I went back to my first husband.
Well, losing your marriage license doesn't mean anything. You are still married to your second husband.
Now he tells me.
Well, when should I tell you? Better late than never. And thank you, Mrs. Brunhilde Spratt. Well, I guess that concludes...
Excuse me, brother.
Not you again.
Yeah, Falstaff sent me.
Falstaff, Openshaw, that rhyming tramp?
Yeah, Falstaff's still in the clink.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, he sneaked out some more poems to a trustee.
Through a trustee, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we are not interested.
Have you heard, bake me a cake like Mother used to make with just a hacksaw inside?
No.
Come with me to the Belfry, Jenny. We'll kick that gong around.
No.
Don't back out of that cattle car, Mother. The brakeman might see your calf.
Now, wait. Tonight, we are discussing the OPA drive for waste paper.
Precisely why I am here. Falstaff wrote a poem about paper.
What is it called?
Paper.
Oh, a novel twist, isn't it? How does it go?
Paper is a substance made from rags or grass or trees. Paper was invented in A.D. by the Chinese. Didn't paper cause the troubles man has known throughout the ages? If paper wasn't first made, we wouldn't have history's pages.
Right.
Ain't paper used for treaties with their economic thuggery? Don't diplomats use paper for international skullduggery?
Right.
We can all blame paper for the world's sad state today. It's on account of paper the world arms for the fray. Yes, if it wasn't for a paper shortage, the world wouldn't be haranguing. And the man who started all this fuss would still be paper hanging.
Very good.
Are experts in motor efficiency, and you put yourself right in line with their expert opinion at a Texaco dealer. And they are Textree, experts in motor efficiency, and you put yourself right in line with their expert opinion when you drive your car in at a Texaco dealer.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, as our guest this evening, I am indeed happy to present...
Mr. Alice!
Well, of course. Say, you are all dressed up this evening, aren't you?
Yes. You said our guest tonight is a big man from Hollywood.
Well, he is, but he's not a dashing glamour boy, Portland. Our guest tonight is Mark Hellinger. He's a motion picture producer.
Well, is there any difference difference between a Hollywood actor and a producer?
Oh, there's a big difference. Actors get Oscars, producers get ulcers.
Kenny says Mr. Hellinger can put me in pictures.
Well, he can, but Mr. Hellinger isn't in New York on a scavenger hunt. Let us be brutally frank, Portland. You cannot get into pictures unless you can act.
Well, what has Jack Benny got that I haven't got?
He has a girdle left over from his last picture.
But how can Jack stay in pictures?
Well, who knows? He's got something on the industry. He's Mickey Rooney's grandfather or something. I don't know.
Hi, kid.
Oh, hello, Kenny.
Where's the big movie Typhoon?
That's Tycoon, Kenny. A tycoon is a big businessman.
What's Typhoon, then?
Well, a typhoon is something with Dorothy L'Amour in it.
I thought that was a sarong.
No, a sarong is the South Sea, is a South Sea turbine with no sense of direction. It's sort of a sunken muffler. You get what I mean. Now, I want to warn both of you, we cannot waste any of Mr. Hellinger's valuable time tonight. Movie producers are very busy men. They live in a world of speed, hustle, bustle, and briskin. Especially briskin. There is a lot of briskin in the world in which they live.
Aren't producers those guys everybody has to say yes to all the time out in Hollywood?
That's right, Kenny.
If we yes Mr. Hellinger, Kenny, maybe he'll put us in a picture.
That's a swell idea, Porty. Let's rehearse.
Uh-huh. Yes, Mr. Hellinger. Yes, Mr. Hellinger.
Cut that out. Mr. Hellinger is pestered everywhere with people trying to get into pictures. Now, I'm going to introduce him now, and please don't bother him. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the writer of one of the most widely read newspaper columns in America, the gentleman who more recently has produced such smash movie hits as The Roaring Twenties, Brother Orchid, They Drive by Night, Torrid Zone, and High Sierra, meet Mr. Mark Hellinger. Well, good evening, Mr. Hellinger.
And good evening, Mr. Allen.
How are things out in Hollywood?
Oh, I'd rather not talk about things, Fred.
Well, why not?
Well, everyone who comes from Hollywood always talks about Hollywood. I'd rather not.
Well, how are conditions in the picture business?
I'd rather not talk about conditions.
You'd rather not talk, and you are a producer?
Well, I'd rather not mention my work.
Well, how do you... What company are you associated with now, Mark?
Oh, I'd rather not mention the company, Fred. Might sound like advertising.
You know, at this rate, we are going to be through in no time at all. Well, have you just finished a picture that's about to be released?
Now, let's not go into that, Fred.
Well, all right, if you don't want to discuss these things, Mark, would you mind if I gave our listeners a short Hellinger background resume?
Well, if you must, Fred, go ahead, but I know it's going to be very embarrassing.
Well, you just have to stand there and blush, that's all, Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight, Mr. Mark Hellinger, lives in Glendale, California.
I live in Hollywood, Fred.
Hollywood, is it? At present, Mr. Hellinger is a producer at the Paramount Studios.
It's 20th Century Fox.
20th Century Fox. Mr. Hellinger has just completed a new picture called How Green Was My Valley.
It's Rise and Shine.
Have we both got the same thing? Oh, it's Rise and Shine. Well, Rise and Shine opens at the Cafe Circle out in Hollywood.
It's Grauman's Chinese.
Grauman's Chinese, is it? The premiere is on November 26th.
It's December 11th.
Well, I guess that's the works, Mark. Did I overlook anything?
Just one thing, Fred.
What?
You forgot to call me Lubitsch.
I was coming to that, Ernst. But say, let's be frank and earnest. I'll be Capra and you be Luber. But say, I haven't introduced you to my little unit, Mark. This is Mr. Hellinger, Portland.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Portland.
Don't you think Betty Grable is working too hard at your studio, Mr. Hellinger?
Oh, I don't think so, Portland.
Betty must be pretty tired. She's in all the pictures.
Well, yes, she's very popular.
If Betty Grable ever breaks down and you need a star in a hurry...
Look, if Mark needs a star, he can always find one in front of a Texaco station. This is Kenny Baker, Mark.
Hello, Kenny.
Baker, Mark.
Hello, Kenny.
Hi, chum. How's Tyrone Parr feeling these days?
Well, Ty's all right as far as I know.
He's getting pretty gray, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, that white hair sure shows up in Technicolor.
Now, Kenny.
Well, can I help it if Tyrone Power is an old man? What you want in the picture business today is new blood. Right, M.H.?
M.H., yeah.
Well, Jenny, that's right. We're always looking for new talent.
You ought to see me in a sweater.
Kenny Baker.
I'll keep you in mind, Jenny.
Can we audition for you, Mr. Hellinger?
I can walk like Charles Lawton.
You can walk like Charles Lawton? Well, start walking, Kenny. Mark and I want to talk. Right, Mark?
It's about time, Fred. What's on your mind?
Well, first, tell me, what's holding up the opening of your new picture, Rise and Shine? Is there a priority on dishes?
No, Fred, it isn't scheduled to open until December 11th.
Well, are you going to have one of those big Hollywood openings at Grauman's Chinese, you know, with the celebrities and the searchlights?
There's another kind?
Not that I know of. The cheapest celebrity night I have ever seen, they set fire to two celebrities and threw them up in the air. They couldn't afford searchlights. I forget the studio. Two celebrities on a teeter board, as I understand. But tell me, how long have you been out there at Glamour Junction, Mark?
5 years now, Fred.
5 years. Well, do you think New York has changed much since you've been gone?
No, Fred. Mayor LaGuardia is still here.
Yeah?
The flea circus is still here.
Yes.
And you're still telling the same jokes?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Tell me, do all those funny things I read about happen around the studios? You know, producers eating aspirin, actors eating each other.
Don't you believe all you hear about Hollywood, Fred. Picture making is a serious business today. All the companies are turning out better pictures than ever before. 20th Century has some great pictures coming out.
20th Century, that reminds me. Don Ameche is on your lot, isn't he?
That's right, Fred, he is.
Say, Mark, as friend to friend, have you ever seen the real Don Ameche?
I often wonder.
You don't know.
Well, I'm not sure, Fred. Some days when I'm in conference with my boss, Daryl Zanuck, I get a peculiar feeling.
Spooky?
Yeah, something tells me it's just Don Ameche playing Daryl Zanuck.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if Daryl Zanuck turned out to be Don Ameche without the riding crop? So, what can I talk? I've got 30 more weeks in radio. What can happen? I mean, what picture can he keep me out of? I haven't got a picture to be kept out of.
Listen, Effie.
Yes, Kenny?
When can we audition for Mr. Hellinger?
Later, Kenny. Say, tell me, Mark, how do you producers out in Hollywood know what sort of pictures to make?
Well, pictures go in cycles, Fred.
Well, I know. I remember the Mr. Motorcycle. But how did that... Well, I tell you how that happened. A Bob Hope writer passing through left it. And then what can we do? What causes these cycles, Mark?
Well, audiences and the times determine the type of pictures that will sell.
In other words, the public makes its own trend.
That's right. Next spring, I may be making a Shakespearean picture. I'll be looking for Shakespearean actors.
Well, where can you find Shakespearean actors?
What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Oh, Romero! Romero! Wherefore art thou, Caesar Romero?
Quiet. Don't mention him unless you mention John Carradine, too. I insist. Now, tell me, Mark, after this Shakespeare boat passes, what will happen?
Well, who knows, Fred? I may be making a gay 90s picture. Old-time singers will be in demand.
She was only a bird in a gilded cage.
And a beautiful sight to see. Do we get the job?
Be signed up for the gay 90s program if you keep that up. Well, all right, after a gay 90s cycle, Mark, what follows?
Well, times may change, and I'll do another picture like Rise and Shine, a comedy full of gags and laughs. I'll be looking for comedians.
Hey, Gracie.
Yes, Georgie Pargee.
How can you keep a dead fish from smelling?
Cut off his nose.
Now, wait a minute. We have enough yucks on the program. Now, this is the last straw.
Get it, Mr. Hellinger?
Yes, Mark gets it, those spot auditions you had there, and I get it. And if you don't stop, you will get it.
You can reach me in care of the Y, Mr. Hellinger.
I'm at the YW, Mr. Hellinger.
And I'll be at the psychopathic ward, Mr. Hellinger.
Well, don't get excited about it.
Well, it burns me up, Mark. Just because you are a movie producer, everybody bothers you trying to get into pictures. Why, I am probably the first person you have met who hasn't asked a favor of you.
Well, you are, Fred, and I appreciate it.
And I appreciate your kindness in paying us this little visit tonight, Mark.
Oh, forget it, Fred. We're friends.
Oh, no, Mark. You're a busy man. Now, you dropped everything to be here with us tonight. Oh,
forget it, Fred. We're friends.
Why, you put our program over tonight.
Oh, forget it, Fred. We're friends.
Someday I will repay this favor, Mark Hellinger. Someday I will come out to Hollywood and star in one of your pictures.
Forget it, Fred.
I get it.
Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, and good luck with Rise and Shine, Mark Hellinger. Thank you, and now that Kenny isn't going to Hollywood, he rejoices in an Irving Berlin medley. Kenny is waiting, Mr. Goodman. Say, Kenny, Kenny, I just noticed while you were singing there, what is that on your upper lip?
I'm growing a mustache, F.A. I'm going to become an airplane pilot.
Oh, you are? And you have to have a lip toupee, do you?
Sure. I've been seeing Dive Bomber and those other aviation pictures. All the pilots have mustaches.
Well, from the looks of that sideburn under your nostrils, you will never make it, Kenny. Guy Kibbe has more hair in his comb than you have in your upper lip there.
Gosh, what am I going to do? I'd give anything to fly.
Well, you don't have to go up in the air to fly, Kenny. Larry, will you tell Kenny how he can practically fly on the ground?
Why, thousands upon thousands of drivers in all 48 states know the answer to that one, Fred. It's Sky Chief, Texaco's different premium gasoline. The very name Sky Chief tells you, here's a gasoline that will give your driving something of the thrill of flying. Yes, Sky Chief does just that. Your car takes off in a flash with a surge of soaring power. You're away under cruising speed smoothly and without apparent effort. On the hills, there's only a quiet zoom and lift to tell you that you're climbing. Even in traffic, it's fun handling a car with power like that. Flexible power that keeps your car spirited at any pace. So try it yourself. Don't just drive. Fly the highway with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
The Texaco Star Theater continues in just a moment when Fred Allen returns to present this week's winner in the Texaco College competition. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Dame Fortune smiles upon another talented young performer nominated for fame by the students of an American university. Each week, a winner is brought to New York for an appearance in the Texaco Star Theater as Fred Allen's guest, with all expenses paid plus a cash award of $200. All right, Fred, the welcome mat is ready and waiting.
So am I, Larry. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present the University of Kentucky's most talented undergraduate, a charming Titian-haired co-ed, Miss Betty Wells Roberts. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, Miss Roberts.
Thank you.
Now, since you are a real Southern belle, Betty, I hope that our Northern hospitality won't seem to be sort of a letdown.
Oh, I'm sure it won't, Mr. Allen. I've been having a wonderful time.
Oh, that's nice. Is this your first trip to New York?
No, I went to school here for a short time, but my home is in Kentucky, and I love it.
Yes, it must be beautiful down in the bluegrass country. I once heard of a cow in Kentucky that ate so much of that bluegrass, she mooed indigo. But tell me, Betty, in what course are you majoring at the University of Kentucky?
Romance language.
Romance language? Mm-hmm. You mean like, ooze itty bitty baby is who?
Oh, no.
You mean baby talk?
I mean the romance languages, French, Spanish, and Italian.
Oh, of course, parlez-vous, si, and grazia.
Oh, you studied foreign languages, Mr. Allen?
Oh, yes, I majored in pig Latin, confidentially. My diploma was a swine skin. I had it smoked right after graduation so that it wouldn't spoil as it fluttered down through the years.
Where did you go to college, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'd rather not say, Betty. It will only embarrass the faculty. After I graduated, I sued and got my tuition back. I've been upset. But about your college career, do you participate in any extracurricular activities?
Why, yes. I'm a member of Kappa Delta Sorority.
Oh, Kappa Delta, huh? Mm-hmm. When I was at college, I tried to get into a Kappa Delta.
Well, a sorority is a girl's society.
A girl's... I found that out. But now, Betty, your school isn't very far from Churchill Downs in Kentucky. Have you ever attended a Kentucky Derby?
Well, I tried to last year. But there was such a crowd that I didn't get in until an hour after the race was over.
An hour after the race was over. Well, that's exactly what happened to the horse I bet on in the Derby. My horse came in so late, a man from Borden's was riding him. Now, Betty, you are a senior at the university, and that means that you will graduate in June. Now, what about your career?
Oh, I'd like to write for radio if I could.
Oh, Betty, think of your parents, your self-respect. Radio writing is no career for you.
Why not, Mr. Allen?
Well, to begin with, most radio scripts aren't even written. The average radio script is like goulash. It accumulates. And when you finally get it all together, it's all wet.
But I'd like to be a good writer, Mr. Allen.
Well, then you should make a fortune, Betty. A good writer in radio will be a novelty indeed. Now, before you regale our listeners with a song, may I ask a favor of you, Betty, if you don't mind?
Oh, not at all.
Well, the governor of Kentucky, the Honorable Keene Johnson, was kind enough to honor the occasion of your appearance here tonight by sending me a homebred Kentucky Thanksgiving turkey. Now, when you get back to Kentucky, I'd like to have you give the governor this little can. In it is a print of the last picture I made. Now, you give this to the governor, and then we'll each have a turkey. And now, Betty, what are you going to sing?
Night and Day.
Oh, swell. Ladies and gentlemen, the University of Kentucky's most talented undergraduate, Miss Betty Wells Roberts, sings for you Night and Day. Of Kentucky for letting you come here to be with us tonight. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the most talented undergraduate of Tulane University at New Orleans, Louisiana. After listening to the three finalists over station WWL, the Tulane students voted. Their ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is Miss Gloria Spencer. We'll be waiting for you next Wednesday, Gloria, and
Mr. Allen!
Yes, Portland?
Mama wants to know if you can come out tomorrow and bring a couple of friends.
A couple of friends for what?
Well, Mama's been knitting sweaters for soldiers.
Yeah?
And she just finished one. She needs three men to try it on.
Three men she needs?
Mama's sweater came out with six arms.
Oh, six arms. Well, your mother certainly believes in an armed force, doesn't she? Believes in an armed force, doesn't she?
Mama's in tune with these emergency times.
Yes, and so are the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers, Portland. Only they're in tune the proper way. Tell us about that, will you, Jimmy?
In tune with these emergency times, Texaco's emergency times, Texaco dealers are on the alert to make your car run better, last longer. They have the quality products, too. Those Texaco brands famous for protection, long mileage and economy. Make it a point to start your car... Make it a point to start your car's conservation program right now. Get your car in all-around good condition for cold-weather driving at the nearest Texaco dealer. He'll start with a crankcase. Drain off your old, worn oil and refill with insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil. He'll change over the transmission and differential to Texaco gear lubricant for easy shifting, smooth running. And then he'll carry his car conservation program into the chassis. Put an end to squeaks and needles. Put an end to spin of the chassis. Put an end to squeaks and needless chassis wear with the Marfac job, Texaco's famous chassis lubrication service. With a thorough expert job like that, your car is on the safe side. Texaco service, safe. Texaco service, safe.
And now the Texaco workshop players. This is the little group that calls any play a costume play if they have to wear their shoes. Tonight, to reach a new Loma, the workshop players for Death Comes Easy, or One Long Pan Digs a Symphony Orchestra and Finds the Killer Dilla.
Guidolin, Xavier and Chili Grotto. Just off Route 1 at Tenafly, New Jersey. Xavier Houlihan and his Samba Serenaders may be heard again over this same station, but I doubt it. Goodbye. I'm fired, too. Fired, too.
Well, we station A.W.O. Hall for a program of symphonic music under the direction of Leopold Stoccanini. Take it away, Nini. Take it away, Nini. Take it away, Barnegie Hall.
Good evening, symphony fans. Here we are at Barnegie Hall. The orchestra's tuning up while we're waiting for conductor Stoccanini to appear. We bring you here. We bring you here. Ladies and gentlemen.
The Philharmonic Symphony welcomes you to its weekly concert here at Barnegie Hall. Concert here at Barnegie Hall. Stoccanini has chosen an evening with Tchaikovsky. The life of Tchaikovsky is fascinating. Tchaikovsky died. So much for Tchaikovsky. So much for Tchaikovsky. Tonight, our guest soloist is a puppet. The so-called King of Swing. Well, I see that we're ready. Mr. Stoccanini is wobbling around on his podium there. Ah, he regains his posture. The first number would be Tchaikovsky's Concerto in A sharp minor. Something has happened here at Barnegie Hall, music lovers. As Benny Glubman started his clarinet solo, two shots rang out. Benny Glubman fell dead. And now, if you'll excuse me, I shall go and call the police. This is Milton Dross signing off to call the police.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Solo is killed at Barnegie Hall. Calling One Long Pan. Report at Barnegie Hall. Wear your mandarin coat with the tails, Long Pan. It's formal. Calling One Long Pan. Calling One Long Pan.
Ah, oh, greetings on we gates, alligator. Detective One Long Pan reporting. B-I-5, B-O-B-O, use life boy, B-O will go. Long Pan and good voice tonight.
Please, please, if you're auditioning for Major Bowes, he's two blocks down.
Well, who are you? Who are you, big boy, Mr. Longhair?
I am Leopold Stoccanini, conductor of the Symphony.
People, Huckawinny, Dr. Cigar and Tonic.
Go away, please. I am expecting a detective.
I am Detective One Long Pan, buddy. Pearl Street Superman. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's One Long Pan.
Well, why didn't you say so? There's been a murder, Long Pan.
Who murder?
This man on the floor, Benny Glubman. Oh. He's been shot.
Ah, murder solved. Long Pan fast like Quicksilver. Hi-ho, Quicksilver. Murder solved. Oh,
wonderful. Who shot him?
Benny Dubman, confidentially. Between confidentially, Benny Dubman not shot.
But I distinctly heard two shots.
Regardless, Benny Dubman poison.
Poison?
Exactly. You see, tongue hang out. Tongue all black.
His tongue... Oh, that's his clarinet. It's still in his mouth.
Oh, Long Pan Silly Billy. Long Pan examine body again. Examine closely this time. Oh, two bullet hole in the right temple. Long Pan closing in.
Whom do you suspect, Long Pan?
Everybody, where is orchestra?
The men are waiting in the rehearsal hall down this corridor.
Let's go. Benny Clubman did get shot. Where he fell, X marks the spot. In his head, he's got two hola. He can't drink his Pepsi Cola.
The orchestra is in here, Long Pat.
Very good. Let's go.
Quiet, quiet, man, quiet. Quiet. This is Detective One Long Pat.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, everybody. Hi-ho, hi-ho. You line up, musician. Line up, everybody. Long Pan, grill band, one by one.
Can I be excused, Mr. Long Pan?
Who are you?
Oh, this is Cy, my tuba player. Cy Krupski.
Yes, I would prefer to get away early.
Not now, buddy.
I live in the Bronx. If I get caught in that late subway crowd with my big tuba, it's murder. I got to go.
Not now. Stick around, buddy.
The last subway jam I got in, they flattened out the tuba.
Flattened tuba?
Yes. When I'm getting off in the Bronx, I have a cymbal.
Too bad. Tough luck, Mr. Krupski. Long Pan wheeze into action. Stick around. Don't take a powder, big boy. Long Pan, Leonard Klein.
Well, how?
You, Mr. Flockawinnie, you put orchestra back in original position. You catch on? You catch him?
Yes.
Ding how, make snappy.
All right.
Bucci, make...
Men, take your instruments and get back in your symphony position, please.
Yes.
Hurry. There you are, Long Pan. They're all back in place.
Very good. Now, where did Benny Bubbleman stand when the murder?
He was right in front of me with his clarinet. About there.
Very good. In front of orchestra. Now, what number orchestra play?
Tchaikovsky's concerto in A sharp minor.
Exactly. Now, you play a same concerto until part where shots were fired. You catch him? Then you stop.
All right. Stop after the fourth bar, men. One, two.
Delightful. Very good.
Well, right there, as Benny Glubman started his clarinet solo, the two shots were fired.
Okay, now you were in front of Benny Glubman. Violin player in back, lady with harp on light side.
Hey, can I go now, Long Pan? I've got to get this tuba in the subway.
No, you sat on left side, the murder man. Krupski, you, violin player, you... Lady Hop player, you, missy. I miss your socking in the hair. You stay. Everybody else goes. Clam, be there.
All right, man. You're dismissed.
Everybody. Now, you four. One, two, three, four. All right. Oh, Long Pan catch him every time. Now, you four people line up.
Oh, this is ridiculous, Long Pan.
Maybe so, maybe not so. One of you four kill Benny Doubleman.
But how could I kill him? I was conducting the orchestra with my bare hands. I've got a perfect alibi.
Lullaby, very good. Alibi maybe too good.
But I was in front of Glubman. The two bullet holes were on the right side of his head.
Okay, you are excused, Mr. Hockenini. Now you, missy, you hoppy lady. What is your name, Toots?
I'm Miss Dilly.
Miss Dilly, huh? You sit on the right side of Benny Glubman, Miss Dilly. Side the shots fire, right side, you know. Maybe you know.
Yes, I did it.
Ho, ho, she did. I catch me.
Yes, I can't hold it any longer, I confess.
Why you kill Benny Glubman?
It was an accident. I only wanted to frighten Misha Horlick.
Who is Misha Horlick?
I am.
Oh-ho, Misha. You're Misha, violin player. What you know about murder?
I am innocent. I haven't done anything.
You've been stealing my harp strings, Misha Horlick.
Stealing harp strings? You explain, Misha Dilly.
This miser is too cheap to buy violin strings. He's been stealing the strings off my harp and cutting them down.
Oh, Misha, you're a bad boy. Misha.
Yes, that's why I fired the two pieces of buckshot. I wanted to teach this tightwad a lesson. I must have missed Misha and killed Benny Glubman.
You know what this means, Miss Dilly.
I know. Back to Spitalny.
Very good. Back to good old Phil. Where is gun, Miss Dilly?
Gun? I didn't have a gun.
No gun? How you shoot the buckshot?
With my harp string, like a bow and arrow.
You demonstrate, please, Missy. You sure, one long pine. Sure, catch on.
Well, you see, I put the buckshot on the harp string like this and pulled.
Oh, concert pitch. Very good. Mystery solved. Long Pan, unless you, Miss Dilly.
Now, wait a minute, Long Pan. I heard two gunshots. Harp strings don't sound like a gun.
Collection, please. Mystery not solved. You, Mr. Horlick, Long Pan, unless you for murder Benny Dubman.
Oh, why should I kill a brother musician? I'm working.
Well,
That's good enough for one long pan.
Pan, please. If I don't get in the subway with my tuba...
Not so fast, you on tuba. Take a tuba, take a subway. Make up your mind. Mr. Cy Krupski, long pan unless you for the murder of Benny Dubman.
Why me?
You are only suspect left. You must be guilty. Very simple, law of average,
You're insane, Long Pan. Krupski was sitting on Glubman's left.
Yes, you said the bullet holes were in his right temple. How could I shoot around his head? And besides, I haven't any gun. Search me.
You're bad. Long Pan give you a quick frisk. Oh, fat boy, fat boy.
Never mind that. I haven't any gun, have I?
No, le wallower.
Well, you're stymied, Long Pan. Why don't you give up?
Yes, I've got to get down in the subway with my tuba.
Now, you hold on, Mr. Krupski. Before you go, pal, maybe you'd like to play tuba for one long pan?
No, request number? No, please, I practiced all day. I am all puckered out.
All puckered out, very good. Long pan, then play tuba.
Here, put down the tuba. You have no union card?
Long pan, personal friend, Mr. Fatello. Long pan, play scale.
What was that?
Yes, what were those two shots?
Mystery again, soft. Long pan, unless you, Mr. Krupski, for murder, Benny Clubman.
This you can prove?
This I can also prove. Mr. Krupski, you drop a bullet down to the mouthpiece. You catch him? You blow a bullet down into foul. When you press E-flat key... Bullet explode.
But Krupski was sitting on Glubman's left, Long Pan.
Exactly. But tuba wind round and round and round. Bullet come out in curve. Hit Clubman opposite side.
Yes, you got me with my tuba down, Long Pan. I did it. How did you know?
Initials on music case. P-I-T. You see? A music case. Look.
That's right, Krupski.
Not Krupski. Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky.
Exactly. P-I-T. Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. You'll fess up, Tchaikovsky.
Yes. It's my great-grandfather's tuba case.
Exactly. You change Koff and Tchaikovsky to Krupp. You call yourself not Tchaikovsky, Cy Krupski.
Is this true, Krupski?
Da, Leopold. Tchaikovsky, the great composer, was my great-grandfather. How proud I was of that name until...
Until what, big boy?
Until they started swinging Tchaikovsky's beautiful music. Taking his melodies, calling them moon love, our love, tonight we love. This was the last throw.
Well, why?
When Glubman is starting to swing my great-grandfather's concerto in A-sharp minor and expecting me, Tchaikovsky's great-grandson, to sit there and play too, to contribute to his mockery, I killed him. Fui on Glubman.
Mr. Saw, final time, positively. Let's go, Tchaikovsky.
Well, Long Pan, will I get the gallows for this?
Aesop say, man who devote life to classical music will never swing. Ho-ho! Only Long Pan swing. Hussa Rawson on the Yangtze with a sub-gum chow mein suey. Hussa Rawson on the...
Word from Larry Elder.
The drive of the American Red Cross has the need for, or the demands of, greater. Join the American Red Cross.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Now, next week, our guest will be the Hollywood charmer, Miss Edna Mae Oliver, and the winner of the Texaco College competition at Tulane University, Miss Gloria Spencer. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast, inviting you to tune in again next Wednesday night and to drive in at your Texaco dealers at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.